Hello and welcome to the Raising Kellen podcast. My name is Marsh Naidu and I blog at raisingkellen.org, where we curate resources for parents raising children with disabilities. As always, remember the content on this podcast is for your information only, and if you seek advice for your specific situation, to always contact a trained professional. In today's episode 102, we chat with Jordan Collins. Jordan is the Associate Director at Our Place Nashville, an organization that partners with nonprofits to provide brick and mortar housing solutions for persons with disabilities in the Nashville area. I know as a parent of a child with a disability, this is a concept that I'm really interested in. To listen about more housing options, check out episode 77, which is a recording with Pete Hickson, as well as episode 85, an interview with Dr. Jerry Knitzel, which discusses other creative housing solutions that are currently happening in our community. So grab your cup of coffee, put your feet up, and get ready for some awesome conversation. Welcome to the Raising Kellen podcast, Jordan. We're just really honored to have you here with us today. Guys, Jordan Collins works at Our Place in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's joining us today to tell us more about Our Place. Jordan, just I would love for you to tell us how you got to Our Place and a little bit more about the organization.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This is such a privilege to come speak with you and your community. So it's kind of a fun story. I'm originally actually also from South Africa. My accent has changed a little bit over the years, but when I was studying in Nashville, I had an acquaintance who was a professor at Vanderbilt, and he was also South African, and he was starting this amazing thing called a friendship house. And I didn't know much about it, but I was getting married and was looking for housing, and so he reached out to me one day and he said, I have this idea. We're starting this friendship house. We need somebody to come and live here as a resident director. We would like a young married couple to move in and be the kind of starters of this community. Would you be interested? And he's the type of person that if he has an idea, you run with it because you know it's going to work. And so I said, sure, Dr. Hammond, I'm in. And my wife and I moved in as the first resident directors at the very first friendship house. There were four folks with developmental disabilities, actually three at the time, and then myself and my wife living in one apartment, and then some students from Vanderbilt Divinity School. And the idea was, and still is to this day, that it's an inclusive community of people with and without disabilities, but the idea is to help people that have developmental disabilities gain independence, to live independently within a safe environment and inclusive community. And so we started this kind of experiment in Nashville. And from there, that was back in 2015 when we first moved in. And now we have up to 70 residents with us at a time. And we're growing way beyond that in the next couple of years. And our goal really is to keep housing affordable. We're not a service provider. We don't have anything flashy. We don't have big swimming pools and gymnasiums. But what we do have is a very normal adult experience for you to live independently in your own apartment, in your own space, and to be able to live in a community where all of your neighbors know who you are. They care about you. They want you to thrive, and they want you to succeed in independence. And so what we provide is that kind of social safety structure that allows people with a developmental disability to thrive on their own.
So Jordan, we're going to deconstruct this and go back to the like origin story itself.
And Dr. Yako Hema.
Yeah, so he was at a school in Michigan where he was a professor at a seminary in Michigan, and he had some friends with an adult with a disability who wanted to be part of the university. And so the way that it started, the way that Friendship House as a model started with universities was on-campus housing for folks who don't necessarily go to the school but want that on-campus experience. So it was students from the university and what they label as friends, which is what we call somebody with a developmental disability, just so you don't have to say that every single time. The idea was, you know, two friends and three students living on campus together, and the friends could enroll in classes. They could go be a part of the sports teams. They could be a part of campus life. They could work on campus. And so this was kind of the concept that Yako helped develop and was on the board of in Michigan. He helped one also open at Duke University. And then he came to Nashville, to Vanderbilt, and said, how can we do this in Nashville? So he met our current executive director, Carolyn Nafee, and she was a disability nonprofit guru, and he was a visionary and had this idea from his experience and wanted to start this with Vanderbilt. And so they put their heads together and they said, how can we do this in Nashville? The difference is we're not on campus. And we're our own 501c3. And the reason being is campus property is really hard to find. A lot of the campuses in Nashville are struggling to even house their own residents. And so we really had to go out on our own and say, we have to make this work. No one's going to give us this, you know, these awesome dorms to make this happen. And so Yako and Carolyn together partnered through partnerships all through Nashville, have been able to find incredible locations to have these communities. The initial one, like I said, were apartment style. So everybody had their one bedroom, one bathroom apartment with a kitchen, a little living area, about 500 square feet. And those, we have about 30 of those apartments. And now our newer model that has come out of that is saying, how can we make this more affordable and more community oriented? And so what we have started is building a shared living house, which if you imagine, it's a really big house, 10 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms. Everybody has their own kind of bedroom, bathroom, closet, or they can have their TV, their little mini fridge. It's kind of like a dorm room style. And then you share a big kitchen. You share a TV room and you share a dining room. And so that allows people to still have their own apartment space, but to be able to share and live in community with others. So this idea that started with just a few folks and a few spots for housing is now growing at such an exponential level because the model is so easy to replicate and so affordable for people. And that is always what Yako and Carolyn's goal has been. On Yako's side as a professor, his other goal, and I'm sure this would make a lot of your listeners happy, is to create world changers and people in the university system who are studying to be pastors or they're studying to be nonprofit leaders. We have people studying to be doctors or therapists who now are getting an experience of living with somebody with a disability and are able to take that experience onto what they do in the future and say, how can we destigmatize disability? And how can we be more inclusive in our communities, whether that be at the church or the hospital or the nonprofit? How can we be inclusive in the way that we do things that truly lets people with disabilities have a seat at the table and doesn't tokenize? And so that has been something that's been really special to see our students change their dissertation or change their path of what they want to study or what they want to do with their lives because of their experience interacting with people who are different than them. And so that's our whole mission on both sides. You know, you often start something wanting to help one group of people, and you realize that in doing so, you're changing a lot of lives and other groups as well. So we believe that at our place, there's not helpers and receivers. We're all equal, we're all learning, we're all growing, and we all have a lot to take from that that community experience.
Jordan, what is the onboarding process to join the community and to source housing at our place, Nashville?
Yeah, so we have a waiting list, unfortunately. It's about 100 people right now on the waiting list for folks with developmental disabilities. And we're expecting that to be chipped away at very nicely in the coming years, but we're doing as much as we can to grow as fast as possible. But we get calls from people. I mean, we get calls from people all over the country saying, how do you do affordable housing? How can I get involved? Right now, we're only supporting, we're only able to provide spots for people who live within 50 miles of Nashville. And that is because we do really rely on the family unit. Like I said, we're not a service provider. We facilitate support. So we work with the families. We work with the sibling if they have one, or the parents if they still have their parents. We really want to do that. And so for that reason, we're helping this community in Nashville, and we do hope to grow. Right now, to apply on our website, ourplacenashville.org, you can go on there. There's an application information form. We kind of do an interview, which is more like a Q&A both ways. People asking me a lot of questions about how does this really work, and me asking you some questions about what needs are and what supports are needed. And together we kind of decipher, okay, we think this would be a good move. We realize that we're not for everybody, and we're not the magic wand that can just create independence for the whole world. But we do recognize that there are a lot of people who this specific idea of independent living within a safe community is what they need. And so we kind of decipher that together, the family and myself or my coworkers. And yeah, we jump on the waiting list and then we wait as fast as we can. And while we wait, we have life skills classes that people can be a part of. If they want to start looking at, you know, money management, or what to do if there's a tornado, or how to keep your apartment free from mold, or how to have conversation when your neighbor is too loud. We want people to start thinking about independence before they get there. So we do classes throughout the semester weekly that helps people talk about independent living. We have a family group that does a lot of what you do here in this community, but within Nashville, of providing resources and ideas. And this is what I struggled with. Do you have any ideas for me? So our families really support each other. And we do, you know, we have potlucks together and Christmas parties and whatever, because we really want everybody, you know, if you live here in 3 years' time or in a year's time, we want you to move in and already know some people. We want you to, this to be a seamless transition into the community. So that's the process. And I encourage, even if you're outside of that window and you're like, well, maybe we could move within 50 miles of Nashville in the next 5 years, I suggest just getting the information and making that decision, because there is a lot of need, and our waiting list is growing all the time.
So are you guys situated in Nashville, but the other properties that you mentioned, is that within a certain radius of Nashville itself? How does that work, Jordan?
Yeah, so our initial houses were right close to downtown. We were about 3 minutes from downtown. And Nashville offers a lot of opportunity in terms of jobs and services, transportation. So we really rely on those partnerships inside of Nashville. So everything we build is going to be within the Nashville area. Having said that, Nashville's not that small. So I guess our fourth house that we built is about 20 minutes from downtown towards the south. We'll be building a house that's about 10 or 15 minutes to the north of downtown. And then we'll be building one in Bellevue, which is west. So we really are going wherever we can in terms of where we can find property, where our housing partners can manage to put affordable housing. But we are trying to keep within that Nashville, Davidson County area. And we realize that as we grow, we would love this to happen all over America. And so we consult with people, we help other nonprofits, and try to say, you can do this in your city too. If you're using your local resources, your universities, your communities that already exist, how can you bring all of those people together in partnership to create this opportunity? So we hope that one day there will be Our Place Nashville of every city and every town and every state in the United States, because we really do believe it's worth it.
That is the whole kind of dilemma right now, is trying to find solutions for affordable housing that is accessible to persons with disabilities, and how that works. I mean, we hear of group homes, for example, or we hear of individuals perhaps living with family, but there is a part of our community that wants or craves that independence, with the recognition that there perhaps needs to be some supports around that independence. I listened to your guys' presentation at the Mega Disability Conference. It just really spoke to me, and I just really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there are things, if you are very wealthy, there are opportunities that maybe you can afford. If you are very poor, there are some state options that aren't great, but they exist. But there's kind of this middle ground of the average person who's not, you know, you're working as a grocery store bagger and receiving SSDI, and you have a small amount of money. Where in Nashville or anywhere in Tennessee can you afford to live on your own? And a lot of our families, our parents are saying, you know, I'm getting older. I want my son or daughter to have their own life beyond when I'm here. And I don't know how to do that, because if you don't have family or people that can just take somebody in, what is the solution? And so we realized that we're, you know, yes, we're helping a very small sliver of people, but there are a lot of people in that small sliver in the community that need this. And so we're doing our best to roll out as fast as possible. To give you an idea, our rents for a shared house are as low as $325 a month. And then once you add utilities and we have a residence fee, it's around $420 a month. Our new houses might be $100 a month more than that, but still, you know, around that $500 a month zone is really affordable for a lot of people, and much more affordable than the rest of Nashville. So we're doing our best. And like I said, only half of the apartments are taken by people with developmental disabilities. And we have learned the other half, which we call housemates, could be a student. We have great student housemates who are young and energetic. We have older folk housemates who may have a physical disability or have had a medical problem, and they need affordable housing. And they're just as fun because they can hang out and they can play cards, they can watch movies. They're social and want that interaction as well. Then we find young professionals who are making, you know, not tons of money in Nashville and need affordable housing. They can be part of this community. We have people with physical disabilities, folks in, you know, who have mobility issues, that maybe they're in a wheelchair, but they're a really great companion to someone with a developmental disability. So we're able to serve so many more people than we even imagined when we started. Whether you are somebody who needs affordable housing because of a physical disability or developmental disability, or because of your age, or because you are divorced, or whatever it is, if you need affordable housing, you can join this community that supports people. And so it's an exciting time for us, for sure.
Jordan, we had a little bit of a chat before, and what you explained to me was that our place, Nashville, is about the community. You guys don't necessarily build the houses, or you aren't necessarily the service providers. Can you speak more to that? Because I just think that kind of takes more stress off perhaps a parent who is trying to figure out, how can I create a housing solution in our area? Now I'm going to have to try and raise funds, accrue land, get a mortgage, and all those steps. But the way you broke it down, I would love for you to explain that to the listeners.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we really believe that it takes a village. It takes a circle of support to help any of us. You know, I need a lot of people in my life who help me thrive, as I'm sure you do. And so we have to rely on each other. And so the way that, as an organization, that pans out is we have our affordable housing partner. And so their job is to do affordable housing. They're doing this anyway. And they partner with us. And so when they build a bunch of houses, they'll say, all right, our place, you can have these ones. And we step in, and we're the kind of the software. We find the people, we get them in touch, we get them to get their lease signing. We help the community once people move in. We may help get donations for furniture if they don't have it. So we kind of are we're the people side of things. We help when there's roommate disputes, or when there's, someone's bored and wants to hang out and doesn't have a community. Who can we find to kind of help them get a little bit more comfortable in that community? So we're doing all the people side of things in terms of the living. services. Now, let's say you need an employment specialist. We don't have employment specialists. So what can you do? Well, through the ECF program, we help you get applied onto ECF, help you get connected to a service provider here in Nashville, and that person can come into the house and provide that support for you. We have people who get supports cooking and cleaning. Someone comes in and helps them grocery shop for the week and plan their meals. That will be somebody from ECF. We have people that get employment supports or anything else that ECF provides, transportation, financial support, all of that stuff. They're part of that circle. If you're somebody who needs therapy, your therapist isn't on this, and we're able to communicate with them and say, okay, what does this person need? How are they doing? Are we meeting their needs as a community? And so that's why I say, for a parent, I mean, I have kids, and I know that you're always thinking of all the different things that they need, right? And you hope that one day you won't have to do that, but in some cases you will always have to do that. And so understanding that who are the people in this community, in the circle of supports that can help my loved one become more independent. And sometimes hearing the same thing from a life coach, they might actually do it and not do it when their parent tells them to do it because they want that independence. They want a peer helping them along as opposed to their parents. So you're by letting them go a little bit at a time to the community and to the folks that are there to support, they're able to kind of stand on their own 2 feet more and more. And so yeah, we don't do everything. We've never been we're not a catch-all, but we can say this is what we do well. We can provide affordable homes and a community where you feel loved and supported and cared for. So what can we do? Okay, let's say your light bulb goes out and you need somebody to help you switch your light bulb. Who do you call if your parent lives an hour away? Or if somebody's out of town, right? Okay, you've got 20 neighbors who at a drop of a hat would come over and help you out. Or you need to get to the grocery store and the bus, it's raining and you can't catch the bus. Okay, somebody in your neighborhood has a car, they can take you. And so the idea is we're kind of going back to before we became so individualized and trying to create communities where people are caring for each other because they can, and not because they're paid to, not because they're staff, not because they're a nurse, but because they just want to live in community. And that's the kind of the cold that we're all trying to catch at our place is kindness and caring for one another in human ordinary ways.
So in order for this to perhaps make more sense to our listeners, I think I would love to unpack the phrase Ubuntu, because that's mm-hmm. something we're both familiar with. And if you don't mind leading with that, Jordan, and also yeah. perhaps just telling us a little bit about your background, and I think that would just tie in a really beautiful piece where we can then head into our conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea of Ubuntu is a Zulu word, and you and I are both from KwaZulu-Natal, which means home of the Zulus. Although my Zulu is still minimal, it's getting worse the longer I spend in the US. But the word Ubuntu is one that's hard to translate, but generally means, or is accepted to mean, I am because we are. And this idea that I succeed when we succeed, and I hurt when we hurt, and we need each other. It's this idea that I am most myself when I'm with others, and I am my best self when I'm in community. And so that philosophy has always been a part of how I see the world, and how I see other people. I initially wanted to study to be a pastor because that's what my father is a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, and I want to do this. And I'm realizing now that in so much of our world, what churches do and have done forever is create community, and that can be done and needs to be done in every space. It needs to be done in schools. It needs to be done in churches. It needs to be done in nonprofits. And so that has always been a part of how I see and understand the world. In South Africa, I went and did some nonprofit work there, and I have seen, and I've done nonprofit work in the States with refugees through Catholic Charities before moving back home to South Africa. I've done lots of things in different sides of the ocean, and that philosophy always comes back to that at the center of it, is that if this organization is about profits or about success or about things, it will fail. But when we are more concerned with people and seeing people for who they are, then we will succeed. And I've also seen how the disability conversation is everywhere. And, you know, you'll be working with kids and in South Africa and realizing that kids, that there weren't, the schools were not accessible, you know, or you're working with older folks and you're seeing how somebody maybe had an undiagnosed developmental disability and they're in their 60s or 70s. And now they're seeing for the first time this whole picture that they maybe didn't see throughout their lives. And so, so I think that this, what I'm doing now, feels like a coming together of a lot of different seasons of my life, having lived in a friendship house, having experienced this on kind of a individual level. Now I live in my own home with my family, but I still get to be part of this Ubuntu, of this Our Place Nashville family, and helping bring others in to this community who need the service, but also need that feel and that people. So I do my best to share the spirit of Ubuntu with as many people as I can. So I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad that you assumed I knew what that was, because it could have been pretty awkward if I didn't.
I knew you'd know. So going back to South Africa, I just think that, you know what, that was such a central part that it cut across any demographic that they might have been. It was a real unifying factor in so many ways. And it's amazing to see how people raised in that traditional setting have taken that to other parts of the world. So, yes.
Absolutely. I hope that we can all carry it with us and share it and live it out a little bit. It's not easy. The other side of being with a community and being with people is that it can be really frustrating and really difficult, and people can annoy you and people can get on your nerves. It's like family. I mean, when people, you know, I'll get calls from a resident, they'll be like, my neighbor did this, blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because I'm like, that's the same complaint I would have had about my siblings growing up. You know, it's the same. It's really, we're experiencing the highs and the lows of family life. And so with that community and with that caring, sometimes has some down moments, but the joy is that everybody is still there. You know, we're still there for each other. We pick each other back up. We grow together and we struggle together. And that's what makes it special.
Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today and sharing about the work that you guys are doing at Our Place Nashville. And listeners, if you would like to learn more, Jordan, what would be the best way for them to contact you all and to learn more about the organization?
Yeah, so our website is up to date and is ourplacenashville.org. And I would love for you to check it out. We have some videos on there. We have tours of the houses that you can see what they look like. We have a lot of good content, frequently asked questions. And then if you go under, there's a couple of different pages. If you want to be applying for a resident as a resident friend, you can apply for the waiting list. If you're somebody who's just like, this is a cool vision and I'm a student, or I'm somebody who doesn't make very much money and I want to live there, you can do that too. So there's a page called Housemates that you can look on. If you're a student, there's a student page. We welcome anybody who's excited or interested in this to jump on board. And my email and contact is on there, and you're welcome to share it as well, Marsh. We love what we do, and we're excited to grow our community as with all of your listeners as well.
Jordan, you have an awesome rest of your day, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening along on the podcast today. And we would really appreciate a rate and review of this podcast on your podcast platform, as well as a share. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach out at raisingkaelin kellenpodcast@gmail.com. Please consider helping us get to our goal of 1,000 subscribers on YouTube as well as Spotify. This will help us tremendously as a nonprofit. So please, guys, hit that subscribe button on YouTube as well as subscribe to our podcast on Spotify. Until we talk to you all the next time, as always, remember, get to the top of your mountain. This is Marsh Naidu signing off.